Does your church need a full-time or backup organist? The virtual organist service from Church Music Solutions is genuine organ leadership using your instrument with your specific selections when you need it. You can try it out for free with our demo unit, which allows you and your members to hear and see the virtual organist without obligation and without a sales pitch. For more details, go to churchmusicsolutions.com.
If you, you know, decide that even if you find out that it's a girl and you decide that that's what you would prefer is to terminate the pregnancy, then that's just your decision. I can tell you that, you know, here at Planned Parenthood, we believe that it's not up to us to decide what is a good or bad reason for somebody to decide to terminate a pregnancy. All right, so you're scheduled for Friday the 27th at 8:30 in the morning.
Audio from the second of two videos taken undercover at Planned Parenthood clinics, where a woman walks in with a secret camera in tow, and she wants a sex-selective abortion. She wants to abort a child because the child's gender is already known. It's a girl. She wants a boy. And the Planned Parenthood personnel are more than willing to accommodate. Joining us to talk about these videos and the reaction from Planned Parenthood, Colleen Carroll Campbell, host of a radio and television program called Faith and Culture, author of the book The New Faithful. She also writes a biweekly column for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. Colleen, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
Thanks for having me, Todd.
What is your response or reaction to Planned Parenthood's response to these undercover videos that have clearly shown, in at least two cases, that abortion clinic personnel seem to kind of routinely deal with requests for sex-selective abortions?
Well, I thought the reaction from Planned Parenthood was rather comical. Obviously, the issue of sex-selective abortion isn't funny at all, but in 1 week, Planned Parenthood found itself in the spotlight in a very negative way, twice in 1 week. And the first reaction from the Planned Parenthood spokeswoman, Leslie Cantor, when the first video from Live Action came out was, okay, we have one staffer here at a Planned Parenthood clinic appearing to encourage sex-selective abortion, and that is, of course, we know the abortion of a child simply because it is not the baby is not the gender that you wanted in this case. And in all of the cases in this sort of sting operation, it's been the abortion of girls because the parents didn't want girls. So in the first case, the response from Planned Parenthood was, that's one staffer in Austin, Texas. She's poorly trained. We fired her. That's that. It never happened. So 2 days later, Live Action comes out with another video, this time from kind of ground zero of Planned Parenthood, the Margaret Sanger Clinic in New York. These are about as highly trained as staffers in the Planned Parenthood methodology as one can imagine, and here a very articulate social worker at the Margaret Sanger Clinic happily guides another young woman through the steps necessary to find out what gender her baby is so she can abort that baby if the child turns out to be a girl, because the undercover actress makes it clear she wants a boy. So this is twice in 1 week. The second reaction, of course, from Leslie Cantor was a little more convoluted, because you can't say this never happens when it happened twice in 1 week, at least the videos were released then. So the next reaction was, you know, this is a made-up scenario, and this is an attempt to make Planned Parenthood look bad, and really, you know, we think that our staffer handled this pretty well because she also mentioned adoption to this mock patient. Well, when you go back through the footage, she did mention adoption basically as the patient's practically walking out the door saying, you know, oh, by the way, I have to mention this. Have you ever thought of adoption? The patient says no, and the social worker goes ahead and schedules the sex-selective abortion. So it really left Planned Parenthood with another black eye, as if the organization needed any more. And it was really, you know, interesting, because this is, of course, the organization that's constantly telling us that they are pro-woman and all for women. And, in fact, in the first reaction to the first video, Cantor put out a statement saying, you know, we actively, you know, condemn sex-selective abortion. We think this is terrible. And then, of course, 2 days later, here's a video from someone at their, basically their headquarters encouraging this woman too, as she told the mock patient, you know, we don't have any reason whatsoever. We think that, you know, we should tell a woman not to have an abortion. It's completely up to you. You know, her exact words were something along the lines of, you know, here at Planned Parenthood, we believe it's not up to us to decide what's a good or bad reason. So, you know, this looks very bad for Planned Parenthood, and I think it was a big success for Live Action. And once again, it brought to the fore this issue of sex-selective abortion, which really is the ultimate form of violence against women, and ironically one against which establishment feminist groups, including Planned Parenthood, are silent.
It raises a question for me, Colleen, and that is, what they basically are doing is saying, well, look, whenever anybody catches us doing anything that's illegal or wrong or improper, it wasn't us, it was just these lousy employees that we have working for us, apparently all over the country. Who speaks for Planned Parenthood? The head office or the women and the staffers that that a woman would meet if she came in seeking an abortion?
Well, I think it's a good question. I mean, over and over we've seen not only the live action stings, but just anecdotally and in other reports that what really goes on at Planned Parenthood clinics across the country is not the sort of airbrushed image of what they're giving us when they do their sound bites and when Cecil Richards gets on MSNBC and tells us about Republicans going after women and trying to force them into back alley abortions. And here's Planned Parenthood, this beacon of women's freedom. And what we really hear and what we hear from people like Abby Johnson, a former Planned Parenthood employee, it is about an organization that's very focused on the bottom line, that has medical standards, at least some of its abortionists on staff are not often, you know, adhering to certainly the highest medical standards and sometimes, you know, woefully inadequate in terms of informing patients of what exactly an abortion entails, not only for their child but for them. You know, and we're seeing over and over again this non-judgmentalism, as Planned Parenthood tries to style it, which has really gone so far as to become advocacy for women to abort for any reason whatsoever. And, you know, you see in these videos just chilling how these Planned Parenthood staffers are giggling with these undercover actresses about, oh, yeah, you know, you can try for another child immediately. In fact, that was, I think, the most chilling part of the first video for me, was the staffer in Austin saying, you know, when she was asked, well, see, I want a baby, I'm ready, I have my husband, you know, we have another child, we have a daughter, but I don't want a girl, so if I abort this girl right away, can I turn right around and get pregnant again and try again for a boy? And the Planned Parenthood staffer smiles and laughs and says, oh, absolutely, I have four children and I've had two abortions and you can get pregnant right away. So it's very clear that this is not about any reason other than I wanted a boy and I got a girl, so I'm going to get rid of this girl and try again for a boy. And I mean, if you cannot, you know, reject abortion on any other grounds, at the very least, I think you can look at this situation and say that's about as trivial a reason as you can get. And again, you know, we hear often organizations like Planned Parenthood saying, yes, we agree sex-selective abortion is a problem, but then they turn around and at clinics across the country, it appears this is actually condoned.
With a couple minutes here, Colleen, tell us about the Prenatal Non-Discrimination Act and what became of it.
Well, the Prenatal Non-Discrimination Act, PRENDA as it's known, you know, it really should have been a slam dunk. There was a poll, a 2006 poll by Zogby International that showed nearly 9 in 10 Americans agree that sex-selective abortion should be illegal. Again, these are Americans all across the spectrum on abortion, but when it comes to killing a baby simply because that baby is a boy when you wanted a girl or vice versa, usually a girl when you wanted a boy, most Americans think that's wrong. So this was a bill sponsored in the House by House Republicans. It did have a fair amount of bipartisan support, or should have had more, but obstructionists on the Democratic side managed to kill it. And, you know, President Barack Obama was very much on their side. When pressed for a statement, his spokeswoman came out and said that while he opposes discrimination in all its forms, he couldn't bring himself to oppose sex-selective abortion because it might limit women's freedom to have other abortions, apparently. So again, post-discrimination except when it entails killing a child in the womb, basically. So this bill was killed, and obviously that's a defeat, but in many ways it was at least a public relations victory for the pro-life side because it made it clear the extremes to which these purportedly pro-choice Democrats, but in many cases you really have to call them pro-abortion Democrats, would go to keep abortion on demand at any price. And some of the rhetoric against this bill was just ridiculous in terms of what opponents were saying about it. Texas Democrat Sheila Jackson Lee said that if we pass a bill that outlaws sex-selective abortion, she said the next act will be dragging women out of patient rooms into the streets and screaming over their bodies and in order to block them from having access to health care. So that's how these kinds of very incremental, very rational limits on unfettered abortion access are seen by people who are so zealous on the other side, that they would protect even the right to kill baby girls simply because they are girls, as long as that's what it takes to make sure we can keep our current abortion regime intact. And that's extremism, if I've ever seen extremism. And so when we hear talk about pro-life extremists, this is Exhibit A of pro-choice extremism.
And with only 30 seconds here, we have to keep in mind that the only reason in sex-selective abortion that this unborn child dies is because of her gender. 30 seconds.
That's exactly right. And it's important, too, that the live-action undercover actresses who went in these clinics and found Planned Parenthood staffers helping them through the process of procuring sex-selective abortions, they made it completely clear that they were married, that they had other children, but not a lot of children, just one other, that they wanted more children, and that they had no reason to think the baby was unhealthy. They made it clear that their number one and only concern was that they got a girl and they wanted a boy, and they wanted to get rid of a girl and try again for a boy. And in both cases that were captured on tape, that was just fine with the Planned Parenthood staffers. If they had any qualms, they didn't express them. And then we saw a third video come out from Arizona, not a Planned Parenthood clinic, a different abortion clinic, but there were two more instances there in Arizona, two more clinics, actually. And same thing, there's a law in Arizona that prohibits this, and the Planned Parenthood, or rather the abortion clinic staffers, were helping these undercover actresses skirt that law. So it's not just a Planned Parenthood problem, it's an abortion clinic in America problem. And it's a very frightening thing to see that this is where the quote-unquote women's rights movement has taken us. And this is certainly a perversion of feminism and women's rights, if ever there was one.
Colleen Carol Campbell is host of a radio and television program called Faith and Culture, author of the book The New Faithful. She writes a weekly biweekly column for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. Colleen, thank you very much.
Thanks for having me, Todd.
When we come back, James White's going to be our guest. He's director of Alpha and Omega Ministries. We're going to talk about some myths that surround the 4th century Christian council, the Council of Nicaea. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. We've got nothing against bumper stickers, just bumper sticker theology. And we'd like to send you an Issues Etc. bumper sticker. You'll find the Issues Etc. logo, slogan, and website address. Simply send your request to Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Please include a self-addressed stamped envelope. Good theology doesn't fit on a bumper sticker, but you can tell people where to find good theology, the Issues Etc. bumper or window sticker.
Pastor Todd, I downloaded your Issues Etc. app for my Android phone, and I listen to it while I'm on the treadmill.
You can listen to Issues Etc. live or on demand with the new Issues Etc. Android or iPhone app. You can download these apps at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. in the palm of your hand. Download an app today.
My new Adam really enjoys the app while I'm on the treadmill.
An umbilical cord of biblical truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
I'm not a Christian, but I listen to your show because actually you do have some interesting topics.
Here's a recent comment from the Issues Etc. comment line.
Do you believe that there's there's not one error in the Bible. That's intellectually infantile. You also believe that Jesus is coming again. You promote extremely sexually repressive views.
The Issues Etc. comment line, available 24/7, 618-223-8382.
Have fun waiting for Jesus to return. Got news for you. He ain't coming back.
Hi, this is Jonathan Cullen from France.
Thanks to God's gift of the Internet, people are listening to Issues Etc. around the world.
First, I would like to say thank you very much for your program. It very much ministers to those of us who are outside the comforts and the luxuries of having a confessional Lutheran congregation nearby. Thank you very much for this great resource.
Listen to what you want, when you want, wherever you are. IssuesETC.org.